This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Welcome to our continued coverage of the 2023 CUNA GAC here in Washington, D.C. As you can see, we have a full house here in our studio lounge here. Let's do some introductions, shall we? Because we have a truly international guest here, Mr. Andrew Price over there from the World Council of Credit Unions. Andrew, how are you, sir, way over there?
I'm doing great. Doing great. How are you?
Doing great. And then right next to Andrew is Anatoly Murhat. Did I get Murhat?
You have it correct.
All right. And you are with the Ukrainian Self-Reliance Federal Credit Union. Is that correct?
Correct. And also the chairman of the Ukrainian American Credit Union Association in the United States.
Wow.
Yes.
It's a long time. You must have a very large business card to fit all that on.
They give me two.
They give you two cards. Wow. Even better. And then last but not least, we have Alyssa Stesishin. Did I get it? Alyssa Stesishin. I'll get it like
absolutely
on the 10th try. Don't worry. And you are with the World Council of Credit Unions for Agricultural Producers Project. Is that correct? Or you can share with me your title. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm the communications lead consultant with the project in Ukraine, which is the Credit for Agricultural Producers Project implemented by the World Council of Credit Unions.
Okay. We just had a very core rattling talk before our recording here about what's going on over there in Ukraine, and it's just, I don't know if there's words to describe what's going on over there. It's just, it's not human what's going on over there. It's just it just lacks compassion, empathy, feeling, really, you know, what's going on over there. And Alyssa, you shared with us some of the things that are going on over there. And you guys are giving a session in a day or two, right, on what's going on and what you guys are doing and what, how credit unions can help. But I wanted to, can you share with me some of the things that you talked about? Because, I mean, it really rattled my core. And if you want to share some of those, if you don't mind,
sure.
Just to give folks to kind of paint of an unfortunate picture what's going on.
The thing is, if we are talking about credit unions continue to operate in Ukraine, but the conditions are awful. First of all, you have frequent power outages.
Yeah.
So people have to be served somehow. That's one challenge. But another general challenge is what we see on the liberated territories of Ukraine. And that's what the world news show us. And that's what our prosecutors are working on. It's the horror that the Russian army and the Russian soldiers brought to our country, including the rape of children, the rape of women, including killing newborn babies, or putting a newborn baby between a newborn baby and his dead mother and mine, so that people can't rescue the newborn. That's all that we saw in the liberated territories of Ukraine, and that's the evil we fight against.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you just showed me an app on your phone that showed the, what was it? It changed colors, and there's missiles or something that are going on. It's just,
that's the air alert, and it shows you in red the oblasts, the regions in Ukraine where there is a high risk of missile attack.
Can I put that up to the camera
sure.
real quick to show people what we're talking about here? Because this is, I mean, this is something we obviously don't have here.
Oh yes.
So real quick, if you guys can see those red spots there, are where it's.
So right now, as we're speaking, we have an air alert in Kyiv, which is the capital of Ukraine. So there is a risk of missile attack.
Goodness, what you guys live through on a daily basis is, I mean, again, words can't describe. And usually when you hit like anniversaries, or there's usually a celebration. But in this case, this is not a time to celebrate, because we hit the year anniversary since Russia invaded
Ukraine
this time last year.
Yeah, that's what we call the sad anniversary, unfortunately. But what I want to, you know, stress is that Ukrainians are doing their best to live their lives, nevertheless, no matter what. We keep saying life goes on. We won't give up.
No.
We will fight till the end. And that's what the credit unions in Ukraine also do.
Right.
So it's people don't close their doors. Whatever the challenges, we may help them. But, I mean, from the perspective of the World Council, of course. But mostly it's the courage of people who are ready to go to work every day to give out new loans, to take their risk, and to help others.
Yeah.
And to support their communities.
Yeah, through all of this chaos, through all of this horrific actions by these people, you guys are still having to live your lives and earn a living, so to speak. Somehow, some way, you are doing it. So
we are.
So yeah, I mean, it's just heroic efforts on a daily basis over there. So yes, our hearts bleed for you guys. It's just, it's so hard to wrap our heads around what's going on over there. So Anatoly, do you want to share any your experiences or what you've seen or heard or how you guys are handling it from your end as well?
Sure. So our membership, we have 12 credit unions in the United States that are Ukrainian-American background. So we represent about 115,000 Americans of Ukrainian descent who have been members of credit unions, these 12 credit unions, for generations or as recent as the U4U program here in the United States. Ultimately, Mike, our tellers, our member service representatives, all of our staff has a direct line with the front line in Ukraine. Brothers are fighting, sisters are fighting, cousins, multiple family members. So we've seen this for multiple generations, and Ukrainian Americans have stood up and said, we're going to do what we can to help financially. We can't go and fight, but we've sent, our 12 credit unions have sent a combined $100 million in aid to Ukraine through our own membership.
Wow.
These are through multiple nonprofit organizations, 501c3 organizations that are registered in the United States, that have a track record for sending transparent aid to Ukraine. So we've mobilized from individual donors to different nonprofit organizations to Saturday Ukrainian schools that are having bake sales, and they'll donate their $300 that they have raised and said, please help somebody in Ukraine with this.
Yeah.
So we have a financial way that we've been helping out, but also a very human approach to it as well, and knowing that we have that direct contact.
Yeah.
Personally, I've been an advocate for the CAP project in Ukraine. I've had a chance to visit Ukraine and volunteer, and I've seen it firsthand. I've seen the great work that the World Council is doing and Alyssa's team, and I very much believe in what the role of credit unions have in Ukraine and will continue to have in Ukraine in its rebuilding.
Yeah, Ukrainians have definitely stepped up and continue to step up in this area. And Andrew, do you want to share with us your experiences as well, and then we'll get into the session that you guys are going to have here in a day or two.
I've met Alyssa in Kiev at the CAP project before the crisis, and Mike, unlike you, hearing her speak today, my world just stops when you hear that going on. The thing that we want to bring out, I think, in our Breakheart session is, I mean, you heard her, the credit unions are still open there and lending those that can.
It's amazing. It's amazing what's going on.
And I think it's important for us internationally to know that, I mean, when there is a time of crisis or disaster, and credit unions, how they step up, are going to be the solution that helps get the Ukrainian citizens through it and are going to help with the rebuilding and the construction.
Mm-hmm.
That credit union cooperative principle, people helping people, if we can make it work there, that's so important for our system worldwide.
Yeah.
It shows that credit union model, the importance of it, and why it has to be upheld and made to work. And so her stories are, I think we need to pay attention to what's going on.
Oh, completely, completely. And that word empathy really comes out. And I mean, we experienced it on a global level when COVID hit, you know, that empathy, but it takes it to a whole nother level when something like this is occurring. So can you guys share with me the session that you're gonna have? It's either tomorrow or the next day, I can't remember which
on
one.
On Tuesday morning.
So can you share with me, give a quick overview, and you guys, Anatoly and Alyssa, can provide some details from your end as well?
Yeah, we call it why international advocacy matters, and particularly why what's happening in Ukraine is important. And so we want to highlight these two who are on the front line. We also have Rafał Matuziak, who's coming from Poland, who right there next to Ukraine and has been doing remarkable work. So to show that system from Ukraine to Poland to the United States, how the community is coming together, how the credit union people helping people really works is what we're going to highlight, and then tie that to why that matters, what happens internationally, tie that to
the international framework that supports the credit union cooperative model.
Indeed. Anatoly, you want to share what you're going to talk about in that session as well?
From my perspective, it's more of it's going to be testimonial and what I've seen in Poland. I traveled to Poland in May of last year. Mm-hmm. I've been to Ukraine. But also understanding what really is a catapult for advocacy sometimes. For me, it's when you see something that's an injustice, like what we see right now, you have to act, and you have to find a way to act, and you have to find a smart way to act. So for me, from my individual credit union experience, what I can do is say, I have X amount of members in certain congressional districts, and I can go to my elected officials and say, I represent 4,000 Americans of Ukrainian descent that have families in Ukraine right now, but guess how they're operating, and guess how they're still lending money? Please help us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You're going to... This is going to be a very emotional session, by the way. I'm just giving you a heads up here, like you guys already know. So, Alyssa, share with me what you're going to be talking about there as well.
Well, my perspective is different. We're the recipients mostly of the international advocacy efforts. And
I'm not sure I understand.
Siri wants to chime in. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So the thing is... we learn a lot. We have a lot of exchange of knowledge, and that's what we get from the international advocacy teams. We can get the connection, I mean, the regulator, that is the regulator of credit unions in Ukraine, they can get experience from their colleagues abroad from different countries. What was important at the beginning of the war is to make some regulatory relief for Ukrainian credit unions because the situation was absolutely not stable, that's clear. And that's where we get support from our World Council advocacy team, international advocacy team. We are in contact communication with the Ukrainian regulator. They can get information or advice or recommendation on how to act in that or that situation based on the experience of other regulators or other credit union movements in the world.
I'm emotional in this interview. I apologize to everybody, but this one's getting to my heart really big time because I'm my heart goes out to the Ukrainian folks out there. So what do you want? What's the goal of this session? What do you want? Is there a call to action that you want folks in this session to take back to their credit unions on Monday morning, so to speak? Alyssa, what do you want them to do besides?
From my perspective, of course, as a Ukrainian national, we've heard many of us already that there is a kind of war fatigue already.
Yes, yeah, you're right,
abroad. And well, it's clear because it has been already more than 1 year. 1 year and 2 days, to be absolutely accurate. But I just want to say that we need it. I mean, it's not like we're only protecting ourselves and our territories and our people. That's the democratic values that we are protecting in Ukraine. This is actually what we want to do for the whole democratic world to win this existential battle.
Right.
So, well, my call to action would be to continue supporting. Even if it seems that it's too long or it's too hard, the people who live there and who continue to work there as credit unions as well, and all the representatives of all professions in Ukraine, I mean, their war fatigue is much bigger.
Oh, I bet.
But that's where we cannot stop right now. And that's why we need international support. We need international advocacy. We need connections with the civilized world because we are fighting against the barbarians. And that's why this good should win and not the evil.
Right. Well put. Anatoly, what's your call to action? What do you want folks to do after this session?
From an awareness standpoint, I want every credit union CEO in the United States or every member service representative, every teller, every loan department manager to know that they have a counterpart in Ukraine right now. They have a global colleague, right? Not just somebody in the same state, in the same city, same nation, but they have a global colleague that's fighting for their life and fighting to help Ukrainians with agricultural financing in multiple ways just to continue life and look forward. So, number one, remember that awareness. Number two, donate.
Yeah. Right?
The Worldwide Foundation of Credit Unions has an incredible fund. They've done incredible work so far.
Mm-hmm.
My call to action is please donate. I came with a check this weekend.
Good for you. I think we all should do that for sure. And Andrew, before we let you guys go, tell me about this, this project that you guys are doing over there. It's a World Council is a USAID-funded project in Ukraine that is helping credit unions serve rural Ukraine. Ukraine with a focus on agricultural lending. Can you share with us a little bit about that?
That is our USAID-funded project that was in existence before the crisis and has continued through the crisis, and we're happy USAID has also now extended that crisis. We're here at CUNA's advocacy conference. The leagues and the credit unions are all going to the Hill. We would urge them to tell their the policymakers up there to expand that program and also expand our to help our credit unions in the surrounding countries as well.
Yeah.
Our credit unions are there. They're lending to real people. They're going to help the real economy. They're going to help the people get through the crisis with food insecurity, with the refugees that are coming out,
right.
with people who are now going back to Ukraine, to urge the policymakers to continue to provide the international help that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And credit unions, frankly, are the best way to do that.
Yeah.
As not-for-profit organizations, as organizations that are already there and in the community and can help get through the crisis and rebuild and reconstruct.
Yeah. So, yeah. And the communities around, especially Poland, they have a very strong credit union system there, as you guys well know. So, and they've been tremendous in helping Ukraine. So, I mean, how does that make you feel, having a pretty strong neighbor right next to you?
We actually found out how many friends we have in the world. So,
you get a lot of friends.
And we understand that we're not alone, and that's the most important feeling, and that's a kind of relief that you know that somebody is standing behind you and has your back. So Poland, of course, they accepted so many people and welcomed more than 1 million Ukrainians who are refugees and who got their temporary protection. We keep saying that Poland is one of the countries who pushes all kind of additional support, including military support, to Ukraine, as well as Lithuania, especially in the EU. But another thing is we have the US friends who are like, it's across the ocean.
Yeah.
But it's not that near, but you do feel, and we were, I was at the rally yesterday, and I saw how supportive Americans are in terms of providing further aid to Ukraine. So mm-hmm. we do appreciate, mm-hmm. I mean, I just can't list all the countries that help us, but we do appreciate every support from every country.
And we are happy to help, for sure. And that war fatigue is not going to happen, all right? No matter who says it. Anatoly, I mean, talk to us about the surrounding communities over there as well, the surrounding countries that are helping too.
Sure. So I had a chance to go to Poland in May of 2022 because I just said I needed to go see this for myself. I contacted the World Council of Credit Unions and asked them if they could connect me to anybody in Poland. So they did. They connected me to Rafał Matuszak,
mm-hmm.
who connected me to a local credit union and said, go to Lublin, you'll see. And Mike, to me, what was most telling, I mean, we read about it, but once you see how hospitable and how the Polish people and the credit union network in Poland really supported Ukrainians that came over. But to me, the strongest testimonial was I was taken to the bus station in Lublin. And at the time, when I walked into the hall, I saw the setup, and you could tell that this is where incoming Ukrainians were being welcomed with coffee, tea, essential items. But then someone said, you should go in the back and take a look at the buses. And I didn't quite know what to expect. So as I walked in the back, I saw three buses that had just come in from Ukraine. And how I knew that is I saw mainly females and older gentlemen, well over the age of 60, and young children. And then I took a look on the bus, and I took a look at the sign, and I said the different cities that they had visited and where they're going. So I asked, I said, I could figure out, I think, what was happening, but I just wanted to hear it for myself. And I said, what happens here at this moment? You're in Lublin. And their response is this, we decide if this is the place for us to stay right now. And if we don't have anybody here, we go to the next city and talk to the next people. But for the Polish people to be that hospitable in a time of crisis and said, we're here with you, we stand with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's friendship.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's another form of a heroic act as well, when you're welcoming these folks into your homes, literally, right?
So, absolutely.
Oh my goodness, you guys, if we could end the conference right now, I would just be, this is the end all be all. Oh my gosh, you guys are amazing human beings. And any final thoughts on this one? I'll ask each of you any final thoughts here. I know this is, we're still basically in the middle of it, but any final thoughts here on this one, Andy?
Thank you for having us on. I urge you to come to the breakout and listen to these two, and Rafał, who will be there as well.
Rafał's another amazing human.
Is incredible, and we all need to learn from it.
Yep, no doubt. Anatoly, any final thoughts here?
Don't forget about Ukraine, because Ukraine hasn't forgotten about the rest of the world.
That's right.
It's fighting for freedom.
You got it. Alyssa?
Absolutely. I just want to say thank you. I mean, a huge thank you for everyone who supports Ukraine. This really means the world to us.
Well, we're there for you. Alrighty.
Thank you.
Guys, I'm going to let you get back at it because you have a long show to go and so a little bit, probably a little bit more preparation for your session in a couple of days. So I'll let you get back at it. But thank you so much for sharing your stories. And thank you for bringing them here, Andrew. This has been such an eye-opener because it's easy for us to kind of watch all this stuff on the news because you're so removed from it. But when you talk to people who have been there and have experienced it and the stories, it hits you like a sledgehammer on the head. So go to the session and check it out. So yeah, good stuff. All right, guys, I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much, Alyssa, Anatoly, Andrew. Thank you very much. Well done, guys.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.